Now tell me, Brother Clarence, what think you of this new marriage with the Lady Grey? Hath not our brother made a worthy choice?
Alas, you know, it is far from hence to France. How could he stay till Warwick made return?
My lords, forbear this talk. Here comes the king.
And his well-chosen bride.
I mind to tell him plainly what I think.
Our brother of Clarence, how like you our choice, that you stand pensive as half now content?
As well as Louis of France or the Earl of Warwick, which are so weak of courage and in judgment that they'll take no offence at our abuse.
Suppose they take offence without a cause. They are but Louis and Warwick. I am Edward, your king, and Warwick's, and must have my will.
And you shall have your will because our king. Yet hasty marriage seldom proveth well.
Yea, Brother Richard, are you offended too?
No. God forfend that I should wish them severed whom God hath joined. Aye, and 'twere a pity to sunder them that yoke so well together.
Setting your scorns and your mislike aside, tell me some reason why the Lady Grey should not become my wife and England's queen. And you two, Somerset and Montague, speak freely what you think.
Then this is my opinion. That King Louis becomes your enemy for mocking him about the marriage of the Lady Bona.
And Warwick, doing what you gave in charge, is now dishonored by this marriage.
What if both Louis and Warwick be appeased by such invention as I can devise?
Yet to have joined with France in such alliance would more have strengthened this, our commonwealth, against foreign storms than any home-bred marriage.
Why knows not Montague that of itself England is safe, if true within itself?
But the safer when 'tis backed with France.
It's better using France than trusting France. Let us be backed with God and with the seas which he hath given for fence impregnable, and with their helps only defend ourselves. In them and in ourselves our safety lies.
For this one speech, Lord Hastings well deserves to have the air of the Lord Hungerford.
Aye, what of that? It was my will and grant, and for this once my will shall stand for law.
And yet, methinks, your grace hath not done well to give the heir and daughter of Lord Scales unto the brother of your loving bride. She better would have fitted me, or Clarence. But in your bride you bury brotherhood.
Or else you would not have bestowed the heir of the Lord Bonville on your new wife's son and leave your brothers to go speed elsewhere.
Oh, alas, poor Clarence. Is it for a wife that thou art malcontent? I will provide thee.
In choosing for yourself you showed your judgment. Which, being shallow, you shall give me leave to play the broker in mine own behalf. And to that end, I shortly mind to leave you.
Leave me or tarry. Edward will be king and not be tied unto his brother's will.
My lords, before it pleased his majesty to raise my state to title of a queen, do me but right. And you must all confess that I was not ignoble of descent. And meaner than myself have had like fortune. But as this title honors me and mine, so your dislikes, to whom I would be pleasing, doth cloud my joys with danger and with sorrow.
My love, forbear to fawn upon their frowns. What danger or what sorrow can befall thee, so long as Edward is thy constant friend and their true sovereign, whom they must obey? Nay, whom they shall obey, and love thee too, unless they seek for hatred at my hands, which if they do, yet will I keep thee safe. And they shall feel the vengeance of my wrath.
I hear, yet say not much, but think the more.
Now, messenger, what letters or what news from France?
My sovereign liege, no letters, and few words, but such as I, without your special pardon, dare not relate.
Oh, go to, we pardon thee. Therefore, in brief, tell me their words, as near as thou canst guess them. What answer makes King Louis unto our letters?
At my depart, these were his very words. Go tell false Edward, thy supposed king, that Louis of France is sending over maskers to revel it with him in his new bride.
Is Louis so brave? Belike he thinks me Henry. But what said Lady Bona to my marriage?
These were her words, uttered with mild disdain. Tell him, in hope he'll prove a widower shortly, I'll wear the willow garland for his sake.
I blame not her. She could say little less, she had the wrong. But what said Henry's queen? For I have heard that she was there in place.
Tell him, quoth she, my mourning weeds are done, and I am ready to put armour on.
Belike she minds to play the Amazon. But what said Warwick to these injuries?
He, more incensed against your majesty than all the rest, discharged me with these words. Tell him from me that he hath done me wrong, and therefore I'll uncrown him ere it be long.
Ah, durst the traitor breathe out so proud words? Well, I will arm me, being thus forewarned. They shall have wars and pay for their presumption. But say, is Warwick friends with Margaret?
My gracious sovereign, they are so linked in friendship that young Prince Edward marries Warwick's daughter.
Belike the elder, Clarence will have the younger. Now, brother king, farewell. And sit you fast, for I will hence to Warwick's other daughter. But though I want a kingdom, yet in marriage I may not prove inferior to yourself. You that love me and Warwick, follow me.
Not I. My thoughts aim at a further matter. Stay not for the love of Edward.
Clarence and Somerset both got to Warwick. Yet am I armed against the worst can happen. And haste is needful in this desperate case. Go, levy men, and make prepare for war. Myself in person will straight follow you. But ere I go, Hastings and Montague, resolve my doubt. You twain, of all the rest, are nearest to Warwick by blood and by alliance. Tell me if you love Warwick more than me. If it be so, then both depart to him. I rather wish you foes than hollow friends. But if you mind to hold your true obedience, give me assurance with some friendly vow that I may never have you in suspect.
So God help Montague, as he proved true.
And Hastings, as he favors Edward's cause.
Now, brother Richard, will you stand by us?
Aye, in despite of all that shall withstand you.
Why so? Then am I sure of victory. Now therefore let us hence, and lose no hour till we meet Warwick with his foreign power.
Trust me, my lord. All hitherto goes well. The common people by numbers swarm to us. Let's see where Somerset and Clarence comes. Speak suddenly, my lords. Are we all friends?
Fear not that, my lord.
Then, gentle Clarence, welcome unto Warwick, and welcome Somerset. I hold it cowardice to rest mistrustful where a noble heart hath pawned an open hand in sign of love. Else might I think that Clarence, Edward's brother, were but a feigned friend to our proceedings. But come, sweet Clarence, my daughter shall be thine. And now what rests but in night's coverture, thy brother being carelessly encamped, his soldiers lurking in the towns about, and but attended by a simple guard, we may surprise and take him at our pleasure. Our scouts have found the adventure very easy. So we, well covered with the knight's black mantle, at unawares may beat down Edward's guard and seize himself. I say not slaughter him, for I intend but only to surprise him. You that will follow me to this attempt, applaud the name of Henry with your leader.
Henry.
Why then, let's on our way in silent sort for Warwick and his friends, God and St. George.
Come on, my masters. Each man take his stand. King by this has set him down to sleep.
to bed? Why, no. For he hath made a solemn vow never to lie and take his natural rest till Warwicker himself be quite suppressed. Tomorrow, then, belie shall be the day, if Warwick be so near as men report.
But say up, pray. What nobleman is that that with the king here resteth in his tent?
Tis the Lord Hastings, the king's chiefest friend.
Oh, is that so?
But
why commands the king that his chief followers lodge in towns about him while he himself keeps in the gold field?
Tis thee more honour because thee more dangerous.
Aye. But give me worship and quietness. I like it better than a dangerous honour. If Warwick knew in what estate he stands, 'tis to be doubted he would waken him.
Unless our halberds did shut off his passage. Aye. Wherefore else guard we his royal tent but to defend his person from night foes? Who goes there? Stay. Or thou diest.
What are they that fly there?
Richard and Hastings, let them go.
Here is the Duke.
Why, Warwick, when we parted, thou calledst me king.
Aye, but the case is altered. When you disgraced me in my embassade, then I degraded you from being king, and come now to create you Duke of York. Alas, how should you govern any kingdom that know not how to use ambassadors, nor how to be contented with one wife, nor how to use your brothers brotherly, nor how to study for the people's welfare? Nor how to shroud yourself from enemies.
Yea, brother of Clarence, art thou here too? Nay, then I see that Edward needs must down. Yet, Warwick, in despite of all mischance, of thee thyself and all thy accomplices, Edward will always bear himself a king. Though fortune's malice overthrow my state, my mind exceeds the compass of her wheel.
Then for his mind, be Edward England's king. But Henry now shall wear the English crown and be true king indeed, thou but the shadow. My lord of Somerset, at my request, see that forthwith Duke Edward be conveyed unto my brother, Archbishop of York. So, for a while, farewell, good Duke of York.
What fates impose, that men must needs abide. It boots not to resist both wind and tide.
What now remains, my lords, for us to do but march to London with our soldiers?
Aye, that's the first thing that we have to do. To free King Henry from imprisonment and see him seated in the regal throne.
These news, I must confess, are full of grief. Yet, dearest sister, bear it as you may. Warwick may lose that now hath won the day.
Till then, fair hope must end in life's decay. And either rather wean me from despair for love of Edward's offspring in my womb. This is it that makes me bridle passion and bear with mildness my misfortune's cross. Aye, for this I draw in many a tear, and stop the rising of blood-sucking sighs, lest with my sighs or tears I blast or drown King Edward's fruit. True heir to the English crown.
Madam,
where is Warwick then become?
I am informed that he comes towards London to set the crown once more on Henry's head. Guess thou the rest, King Edward's friends must down. But to prevent the tyrant's violence, for trust not him that hath once broken faith, I'll henceforth with unto the sanctuary, to save at least the heir of Edward's right. There shall I rest, secure from false and fraud. Come, therefore, let us fly while we may fly. If Warwick take us, we are sure to die.
My Lord Hastings and Sir William Stanley, leave off to wonder why I drew you hither into this chiefest thicket of the park. Thus stands the case. You know our king, my brother, is prisoner to the bishop here, at whose hands he hath good usage and great liberty, and often but attended with weak guard, comes hunting this way to disport himself. I have advertised him by secret means that if about this hour he make this way, he shall here find his friends with horse and men to set him free from his captivity.
This way, my lord, for this way lies the game.
Nay, this way, Matt. See where the huntsmen stand. Now, brother of Gloucester, Hastings, and the rest, stand you thus close to steal the bishop's deer?
Brother, the time and case requireth haste. Your horse stands ready at the park corner.
But whither shall we then?
To Lynn, my lord, and ship from thence to Flanders.
Well guessed, believe me, for that was my meaning.
Stanley, I will requite thy forwardness.
But wherefore stay we? 'Tis no time to talk.
Huntsman, what sayest thou? Wilt thou go along?
Better do so than tarry and be hanged.
Come then away, let's have no more ado.
Bishop, farewell. Shield thee from Warwick's frown, and pray that I may repossess the crown.
Master Lieutenant, now that God and friends have shaken Edward from the regal seat and turned my captive state to liberty, my fears to hope, my sorrows unto joys, at our enlargement, what are thy due fees?
Subjects may challenge nothing of their sovereigns, but if an humble prayer may prevail, I then crave pardon of your majesty.
For what, Lieutenant? For well using me? Nay, be thou sure I'll well requite thy kindness, for that it made my prisonment a pleasure. Aye, such a pleasure as encaged birds conceive, when after many moody thoughts, at last by notes of household harmony, they quite forget their loss of liberty. But Warwick, after God, thou set'st me free, and chiefly therefore I thank God and thee. He was the author, thou the instrument. Therefore, that I may conquer fortune's spite by living low where fortune cannot hurt me, and that the people of this blessed land may not be punished with my thwarting stars. Warwick, although my head still wear the crown, I here resign my government to thee, for thou art fortunate in all thy deeds.
Your grace hath still been famed for virtuous, and now may seem as wise as virtuous by spying and avoiding fortune's malice. For few men temper rightly with the stars. Yet in this one thing let me blame your grace, for choosing me when Clarence is in place.
Now, Warwick, thou art worthy of the sway, to whom the heavens in thy nativity adjudged an olive branch and laurel crown as likely to be blessed in peace and war. And therefore I yield thee my free consent.
And I choose Clarence only for projector.
Warwick and Clarence, give me both your hands. Now join your hands, and with your hands your hearts, that no dissension hinder government. I make you both protectors of this land, whilst I myself will lead a private life, and in devotion spend my latter days to sin's rebuke and my Creator's praise.
What answers Clarence to his sovereign's will?
That he consents, if Warwick yield consent, for on thy fortune I repose myself.
Why then, though loath, yet must I be content. We'll yoke together like a double shadow to Henry's body and supply his place. I mean, in bearing weight of government, while he enjoys the honor and his ease.
And Clarence. Now then, it is more than needful forthwith that Edward be pronounced a traitor, and all his lands and goods be confiscated.
What else? And that succession be determined.
Aye. Therein Clarence shall not want his part.
But with the first of all your chief affairs, let me entreat, for I command no more, that Margaret, your queen, and my son Edward be sent for to return from France with speed. For till I see them here, by doubtful fear, my joy of liberty is half eclipsed.
It shall be done, my sovereign, with all speed.
My Lord of Somerset, what youth is that of whom you seem to have so tender care?
My liege, it is young Henry, Earl of Richmond.
Come hither. England's hope. If secret powers suggest but truth to my divining thoughts, This pretty lad will prove our country's bliss. His looks are full of peaceful majesty. His head, by nature, framed to wear a crown. His hand to wield a scepter. And himself, likely in time to bless a regal throne. Make much of him, my lords, for this is he must help you more than you are hurt by me.
What news, my friend?
Edward has escaped from your brother, and fled as he is since to Burgundy.
Unsavory news. And how made he escape?
He was conveyed by Richard, Duke of Gloucester, and the Lord Hastings, who attended him in secret ambush on the forest side, and from the bishop's huntsmen rescued him, for hunting was his daily exercise.
Our brother was too careless of his charge. But let us hence, my sovereign, to provide a salve for any sore that may betide.
My lord, I like not of this flight of Edward's, for doubtless Burgundy will yield him help, and we shall have more wars before it be long. As Henry's late presaging prophecy did glad my heart with hope of this young Richmond, so doth my heart misgive me in these conflicts what may befall him to his harm and ours. Therefore, Lord Oxford, to prevent the worst, forthwith we'll send him hence to Brittany till storms be past of civil enmity.
Aye. What if Edward repossess the crown? 'Tis like that Richmond with the rest shall down.
It shall be so. He shall to Brittany. Come, therefore, let's about it speedily.
Now, Brother Richard, Hastings, and Lord Stanley. Yet thus far, fortune maketh us amends. And says that once more I shall interchange my waned state for Henry's regal crown. Well, have we passed and now repassed the seas and brought desired help from Burgundy? What then remains, we being thus arrived from Ravensper Haven before the gates of York, but that we enter, as into our dukedom?
The gates made fast. Brother, I like not this. For many men that stumble at the threshold are well foretold that danger lurks within.
Hush, man. Abodements must not now affright us. By fair or foul means, we must enter in. For hither will our friends repair to us.
Malise, I'll knock once more to summon them.
My lords! We were forewarned of your coming. And shut the gates for safety of ourselves. For now we owe allegiance unto Henry.
But, Master Mayor, if Henry be your king, yet Edward at the least is Duke of York.
True, my good lord. I know you for no less.
Why, and I challenge nothing but my dukedom, as being well content with that alone.
But when the fox hath once got in his nose, he'll soon find means to make the body follow.
Why, Master Mayor, why stand you in a doubt? Open the gates! We are King Henry's friends!
Aye? Say you so? The gates shall then be open.
A wise, stout captain, and soon persuaded.
The good old man would feign that all were well, so 'twere not long of him. But being entered, I doubt not I, but we shall soon persuade both him and all his brothers unto reason.
So, Master Mayor, these gates must not be shut but in the night, or in the time of war. What, fear not, man, but yield me up the keys, for Edward will defend the town, and thee, and all those friends that deign to follow me.
Brother, this is Sir John Montgomery, our trusty friend, unless I be deceived.
Welcome, Sir John. But why come you in arms?
To help King Edward in his time of storm, as every loyal subject ought to do.
Thanks, good Montgomery. But we now forget our title to the crown and only claim our dukedom till God please to send the rest.
Then fare you well, for I will hence again. I came to serve a king and not a duke. Drummer, strike up, let us march away.
Stay, Sir John, a while. And we'll debate by what safe means the crown may be recovered.
What talk you of debating? In few words, if you'll not here proclaim yourself our king, I'll leave you to your fortune and be gone to keep them back that came to succor you. Why shall we fight if you pretend no title?
Aye!
Why, brother, wherefore stand you on nice points? Resolve yourself and let us claim the crown.
When we grow stronger, then we'll make our claim. Till then, 'tis wisdom to conceal our meaning.
Away with scrupulous wit. Now arms must rule.
And fearless minds climb soonest unto crowns. Brother, we will proclaim you out of hand. The bruit thereof will bring you many friends.
Then be it as you will. That is my right. And Henry but usurps the diadem.
Aye, now my sovereign speaketh like himself. And now will I be Edward's champion.
Sound trumpet! Edward shall be here proclaimed. Come, Master Mayor, make the proclamation.
Edward the Fourth, by the grace of God, King of England and France, and Lord of Ireland, true and just heir, Duke of York, Earl of March and Ulster.
And whosoever gainsays King Edward's right, by this I challenge him to single fight.
Long live Edward the Fourth!
Thanks, brave Montgomery, and thanks unto you all. If fortune serves me, I'll requite this kindness. Now for this night, let's harbor here in York. And when the morning sun shall raise his car above the border of this horizon, we'll forward towards Warwick and his mates. For well I wot that Henry is no soldier. Come on, brave soldiers! Doubt not of the day! And that once gotten, doubt not of large pay!
Well, counsel, lords, for Edward now doth march amain to London, and many giddy people flock to him.
Let's levy men and beat him back again.
A little fire is quickly trodden out, which being suffered, rivers cannot quench.
In Warwickshire I have true-hearted friends. Those will I muster up. And thou, son Clarence, shall stir in Suffolk, Norfolk, and in Kent the knights and gentlemen to come with thee. Thou, brother Montague, in Buckingham, Northampton, and in Leicestershire shall find men well inclined to hear what thou commandest. And thou, brave Oxford, wondrous well-beloved in Oxfordshire, shall muster up thy friends. My sovereign, with the loving citizens, like to his island girt in with the ocean, or modest Diane circled with her nymphs, shall rest in London till we come to him. Fair lords, take leave and stand not to reply. Farewell, my sovereign.
Farewell, my Hector, and my Troy's true hope.
In sign of truth, I kiss your highness' hand.
Well-minded Clarence, be thou fortunate.
Comfort my lord, and so I take my leave,
and thus I seal my truth, and bid adieu.
Sweet Oxford,
and my loving Montague, and all at once, once more a happy farewell.
Farewell, sweet lords. Let's meet at Coventry.
Here at the palace will I rest a while. Cousin of Exeter, what thinks your lordship? Methinks the power that Edward hath in field should not be able to encounter mine.
The doubt is that he will seduce the rest.
That's not my fear. My mead hath got me fame. I have not stopped mine ears to their demands, nor posted off their suits with slow delays. My pity hath been balm to heal their wounds. My mildness hath allayed their swelling griefs. My mercy dried their water-flowing tears. I have not been desirous of their wealth, nor much oppressed them with great subsidies, nor forward of revenge, though they much erred. Then why should they love Edward more than me? No, Exeter, these graces challenge grace. And when the lion fawns upon the lamb will never cease to follow him.
Hail! Hail! My lord, what shouts for these?
Seize on the sacred Henry,
bear him hence, and once again proclaim us King of England. You are the fount that makes small brooks to flow, Now stops thy spring, my sea shall suck them dry, and swell so much the higher by their ebb. Hence with him to the tower. Let him not speak. And lords, towards Coventry bend we our course, where peremptory Warwick now remains. The sun shines hot, and if we use delay, cold biting winter mars our hoped for hay.